This is from Mark 4, 21 to 41. As the evening sun was sinking down over the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." It had been a long day for Jesus, teaching from the boat the parables. And I'd like us to go back to this reading when we're done and go with it, go over it. To be put under the bushel, or under the bed, and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to the light. Let anyone with ears listen. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you will give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you." Also, he said to them, "The kingdom of God is if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise at day and night, and the seed would sprout and grow. The earth produces of itself, first the grain and then the head, then the full grain. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it is grown up, it grows and becomes the greatest of all trees, and puts forth the large branches of them so the birds can make nests in them." On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked them and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And they were filled with awe and said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey them?" Passing over is a kind of transition that when I was working for a consulting firm that made transition guides, which was about leadership transition in nonprofits. And there we learned that there are three stages to transition. The first is ending and losing and letting go. The second is the neutral zone, which is when we pivot to a new direction. And when we find that direction, the third stage is we thrive. So we let go, we pivot, and we thrive. We must leave the familiar shore when we begin to let go. We long for the holy plowman whose plow will turn over a new chapter in our lives. But we also fear the plow, that it may dig too deep. passing over, we have to let go in the same way that we have to let go of our beloved dead. We love them and we grieve for them, but and we let go of them, though grief continues through the rest of our lives. Its frequency and its intensity and its length will shrink. But the Archibald MacLeish speaks to this in his poem about the beloved dead. Our beloved dead do not speak. Nevertheless, they are heard in the still houses. Who has not heard them? They have a silence that speaks for them at night, and when the clock counts. They say, we were once young. We have died. Remember us. They say, we have done what we could, but until it is finished, it is not done. They say, we have given our lives, but until it is finished, no one can know what our lives gave. They say, our deaths are not ours. They are yours. They will mean what you make of them. They say, whether our lives or our deaths were for peace and a new hope or for nothing, we cannot say, it is you who must say this. We leave you our deaths. Give them their meaning. You were young. You were young. We have died. Remember us. I once read a thing on Father's Day which said, our fathers are not what they were, but what we remember that they were. And so we can choose the memories. Certainly there is a host of bad ones, and when they're really bad, we do have to remember those. But we can remember the positive things, and we may hold on to old resentments, but it's very important that we think through all the positive things that our parents and our beloved dead gave us. One of the things when I work with couples, I use the standard premarital couples inventory, which thinks a lot better than I do. But one of the things that it measures is idealistic distortion. And all of us have some degree of idealistic distortion with the main people in our life. But as the marriage progresses, you know, that sense of idealism will turn into a reality. We have to let go of that kind of idealism that we were born. One of the myths in that way with just idealistic distortion is the idea of a soulmate. When we find the person we're going to marry, we want to believe this is our soulmate. They were born to be our soulmate, and now they have arrived. But the truth is that soulmates are grown, they're not born. That we grow a soulmate in the marriage, not really before the marriage. In the transition stage, the pivot, there's a lot of listening. There's a saying that from science that water is the universal solvent. And in the transitions, when we're passing over, we pass over the water. But in that passing, prayer is the universal spiritual solvent. And it is the foundation on which I think all of our religious and spiritual lives need to be built. I first began to see the importance of meditation. At 71, I had my awakening when I was in prison, which is another story. But I did a sort of broad and really superficial survey of the literature, and it was clear that meditation was the primary spiritual discipline for Christianity, for Islam, for Buddhists especially, for Hindu. part of that is that it's about dying to self, to be born into our new phase of our transition. We have to die to our old selves. And there's a time in the neutral zone where we need to be listening. We need to be listening. And they say that prayer is speaking to God and meditating is listening to God. Plutarch said of Socrates that he had an inner voice that guided him, but really all of us have an inner voice that guides us. Only he was able to listen to it. And that is what meditation is about, is learning to listen. The transition is not a happy or successful one. In the song, in the verse it says, I've got one foot on the platform and the other foot on the train. I'm going back to New Orleans to wear the ball and chain. And part of that is that we don't listen. That non-listening is expressed in Dylan Thomas's poem, which is about the way we rush through our lives and really leave a lot of the significant passages unexamined. And honored among foxes and pheasants by the gay house, under the new-made clouds, and happy as the heart was young, in the sun born over and over again, we ran our heedless race. Our wishes raced through the house high hay. Enough of you heard, and I spied a blue trains, the time and all its tuneful turning would carry us away. Nothing I cared in the sky blue trades, the time would lead me up to the swallow thronged loft, and there I would sit and sing with my songs like the sea. He would know about singing in his chains. He was an alcoholic, died in New York at the White Horse Bar, where he reputedly drank 16 shots whiskey, and he basically went home and died. We get help in our transitions from our books. Our books of common prayer. One of the greater honors of my life was being asked by some of the large assistants to read the last rites to Dottie in her last hours. And part of that, which is a part of letting go, when we let go of our dead, the rituals and what is said in the rituals help us. In this case, from the Book of Common Prayer, into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Dottie. Acknowledge we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace. That letting go of the... Oh, thank you. That letting go of our beloved dead was brought home to me very strongly when I was serving as the night shift chaplain at the Mass General Hospital, when I got called in at the request of a guy who had just been helicoptered in from New Hampshire, where he'd been in a horrific accident that had killed his wife and infant son. And he said to me when I got there, he said, Father, we never had a chance to baptize our son. Will he always be in hell? Oh. And I was so thankful to believe in universal salvation, because because, in that instance, I was able to get really close and say, I am certain that your son is with his mother in heaven, and that when your time comes to pass, you will be in heaven too. And with that, I thought maybe he had died. He just relaxed, and they told me all of his vital signs, you know, straightened out. And that was the beginning of his letting go, you know, of being able to put that behind. And he did go on. He did go on, and he had a second marriage and a second family. But until we can grieve our losses, we can't begin to move on. They say of the neutral zone, when one door opens, another one closes. But sometimes we have to walk around in the hall for a while. Over the threshold, you know, these rites of passage, one that I was thought of the other Friday, I was finishing helping Cito paint and rearrange the new apartment. And so as I was leaving, I said, are you going to carry her over the threshold? And then when I saw her, who was coming in on the way out, I asked her if you were going to carry him in over the threshold. And I don't think anyone was carried over the threshold that night, because there were not many, because the imagery is one of sort of God the Father, the warrior that's bringing home his prize, and over the, you know, a maternal God, it would be carrying the man into the place of nurture and where of rest in the place of rejuvenation. But the thing in either case is that it's a transition. It's a point of change. And you need, you know, like I was thinking, you know, it was a paint job. You know, it called me to help out. I painted before, so I went down and did that. But later I realized that, you know, they were moving into their first home, you know. This was, I mean, they've been on the road they had, and he said we haven't been at any place for the same time for 2 weeks, for months and months. And so, that was, it was a great relief to them, but it was also, it was crossing that threshold. God was carrying me across that threshold, not my outside. Sometimes the transition in the emergence into the thriving, the new land, is laced in tragedy. And one of those I'm familiar with was a guy who, well, you know, we never know what the simple skills that we gather and do come in handy in our lives. And singing is perhaps, you know, one of those. And this is a story about a group of friends who were rock climbing out west some years ago, and one of them has a fall, a bad fall. And so everyone gathers around, and a medic among them gets down to look over this guy over, and he starts coughing up blood, a lot of blood. And the medic, you know, stands up in the back of the step and looks around the circle of people and shakes his head. And then he gets back down and he says what he has arrived at saying in those situations, which is, we're going to help you get through this.
Oh, yeah.
Which is true whether they know they're dying or whether they're hoping. They're not going to be alone. They're going to have some help. But the guy on the ground, he knows he's in trouble. And he looks up at a woman he heard singing at the campfire the night before and says, will you sing to me? And, you know, she's like a deer in the headlights. You know, she's just, and then, out of the blue, she starts singing Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And she gets to the verse where it says, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. And a tear runs out of the guy's eyes. And his breathing is getting pretty ragged. Slow. And next finds herself with no foreguy saying, I'll fly away. And as he finishes, she, in singing the song, she realizes that her song is the last thread that this guy is holding on to. And as she sings the last verse of "When I Die, Hallelujah, By and By," he starts to try to whisper something. And you put your ear close. He basically barely manages to say, so in that case, the transition was to death. We have to be ready to help that be a good death. A similar story where the thread goes in a different direction was a CPA that I knew sitting in the back in his usual pew. And this particular Sunday morning, he is numb and alone in the knowledge that in the previous 6 months, he's gambled away all of the family's money. You know, the retirement, the college, the equity line, the credit cards. Only he knows in the bank that their home's been foreclosed for 3 months, and that the family will be evicted probably within 3 or 4 days. And he is so ashamed of this that he can't share it with. And that morning, he is sitting there in the swarm of passive thoughts of suicide, cross that thin line into active thoughts. And he now has a time and a place and a method. But as he's sitting there, the choir's opening song, there's a thread. That thread starts to come to him. Only this time, it's a thread that's taking him. And he begins to mumble along with the hymns, and in the choir's closing anthem, he finds something that gives him the strength to go on. And we often don't know the impact that our things have on people. And so Jesus says to us, let us cross over. Amen. Oh, we want to finish on a more upbeat note than that. We've got another gospel hymn.